Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Recorded at the University of Minnesota, you are listening to Radio K's Culture Q, the cultural and arts show dedicated to telling the stories you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in again for Matt Curtis, I am your host, Parker Lemke. Tonight, we continue our radio play adaptation of the 1988 action blockbuster Die Hard. Last week, we met New York cop John McClane, who flew to Los Angeles, California for the holidays, meeting his estranged wife, Holly McClane, in an upscale corporate tower. Unfortunately for them, German terrorists, I'm not making this up, led by the impeccably dressed Hans Gruber, crashed the party. With heavy firepower and an expert hacker named Theo on their side, the criminals hope to loot $640 million held in the Nakatomi Corporation's vault. Standing in their way is John McClane, who has killed a number of the terrorists already, and has made off with a bag of detonators that Hans desperately needs to retrieve for his scheme to succeed.
This is Richard Thornburg, live from Century City. Tonight, Los Angeles has joined the sad worldwide fraternity of cities whose only membership requirement is to suffer the anguish of international terrorism.
Yeah, what else is new?
Listening in on the broadcast is Argyle, continuing a one-man party in the back of his limo. He pops a cork off a wine bottle and begins to pour a glass.
Approximately 2 hours ago, an unidentified group of men seized control of the Nakatomi building, sealing off all the entrances and exits.
Aw, man!
Outside the Nakatomi building, the besieging police force is braced for a looming confrontation.
Unit 5, hold your position at the main entrance.
What's going on?
What's it look like? We're going in.
Going in? Man, that's crazy. There could be over 30 hostages in there for all we know.
We don't know crap, Powell. If there's hostages, how come no one has come to us with ransom demands, huh? All we know is someone shot up your car, probably the same silly son of a gun you've been talking to on that radio.
And what about the body that fell out the window?
Well, who knows? Maybe some stockbroker looked at the Dow Jones, got depressed, and decided to make an early retirement.
Chief, we're ready.
All right, light him up. Let's go.
Searchlights rounding the perimeter burst to life and flood the building with light.
Pow. You still with me, man? What's going on? Yo, Al.
I'm here, but I'm kind of busy. I'll talk to you later.
Al, what's going on? What's wrong?
I said I'll talk to you later. If you are what I think you are, then you should know when to listen, when to shut up, and when to pray.
Jiminy Christmas. You're coming in, that's it, isn't it? Paul, I told you what you're dealing with here.
Up in Holly's office, Hans also senses the coming assault.
They'll be coming in. Get ready. Theo, watch the screens. You're the eyes now.
Theo switches on the monitors. Downstairs, a pair of terrorists set up a rocket launcher at the third floor window while the SWAT team advances, behind the cover of an armored vehicle.
You macho idiots! No! No!
On his bank of monitors, Theo also notices the approaching SWAT members.
Listen up, guys. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring except for the four dumbbells coming up in the rear in a standard 2x2 cover formation behind the RV.
The SWAT team reaches the front door, finding their way barred by a shuttered metal gate. We're ready.
Kick butt.
Go! One officer removes a portable welding torch and begins cutting through the locks. Suddenly, rifle fire sounds from the building.
They're shooting at him!
It's panic fire. They can't see anything with the floodlights on.
They're shooting at the lights.
Bang, bang. Shoot, shoot. The shots shatter the spotlights, one after another.
They're going after the lights. We're losing cover. Call them back. They're sitting ducks out there.
No, they're almost in. A blast of fire roars as a rocket strikes dead on against the armored vehicle.
Oh my gosh, the quarterback is toast!
Hans, you son of a gun, let them pull back.
Thank you, Mr. Cowboy. I'll take it under advisement. Hit them again.
Several floors above the terrorists, McClane hatches his own explosive plan. He wheels a chair over to the elevator shaft, leading straight to the firing position. He breaks open the elevator door, rigging his C4 charges to the chair and tying a computer monitor to it for weight. Downstairs, the goons rush to load another rocket, as McClane kicks his makeshift bomb down the elevator shaft, sending it falling straight for them.
Geronimo, mother!
Ah!
roaring firestorm obliterates the terrorists' firing position, shattering windows and sending desks, chairs, and computers flying.
They're fusing artillery on us.
You idiot. That wasn't the police. It's him.
As the smoke clears, McLean reaches for his radio.
Al, do you copy?
What was that?
You know the plastic explosive I told you about? There you go. Is the building on fire?
No, but it's gonna need a paint job and a buttload of screen doors. Our spotters say you got two of them in the blast.
Sergeant, is that him? Is that him?
Yes, sir.
The deputy chief snatches the radio receiver and clenches it in his fist.
Now you listen to me, mister. I don't know who the heck you think you are or what you're doing, but we do not want your help. Is that clear? We don't want your help.
Who the heck is this?
This is Deputy Chief of Police Dwayne T. Robinson, and I'm in charge of this situation.
Oh, you're in charge. Well, I got some bad news, Dwayne. From up here, it doesn't look like you're in charge of Jack.
You listen to me, you little butthead.
Butthead? I'm not the one who just got his butt kicked, Dwayne. Now listen to me, jerk. You're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Quit being part of the problem and put Al back on.
Hey, man, how you feeling?
Pretty unappreciated, Al.
Hey, look, I love you. So do a lot of the other guys. So you hang in there, you hear me? You hang in there.
Up on the 30th floor, among the hostages, Ellis stands up and adjusts his tie.
What are you doing?
I'm tired of just sitting here, waiting to see who gets us killed first. Them or your hussy.
What are you going to do?
Babe, I negotiate million-dollar deals for breakfast. I think I can handle this Euro trash. Hey, you! Sprickens, I talk.
Franco comes over and grabs Ellis, leading him to the office where Hans and Carl are seated.
You wouldn't let me kill him when I had the chance.
If you had listened to me, he would be neutralized already.
I don't want him neutral. I want him dead.
Hope I'm not interrupting.
What does he want?
It's not what I want. It's what I can give you. Let's be straight, okay? It's obvious you're not some dumb schmuck after a few purses. Am I right, huh?
You're very perceptive.
Hey, I watch 60 Minutes. I say to myself, these guys are professional. They're motivated. They're happening. They want something. Now, personally, I don't care about your politics. Maybe it ticked at the Arabs. Maybe it's the Israelis. Northern Ireland. It's none of my business. I figure you're here to negotiate. Am I right?
You're amazing. You figured this all out already.
Hey, business is business. You'll use a gun, I use a fountain pen. What's the difference? To put it in my terms, you're here on a hostile takeover and you grab us for some green mail, but you don't expect a poison pill was going to be running around the building. Hans, my baby, I'm your white knight.
I must have missed 60 Minutes. What are you saying?
The guy upstairs who's messing things up, I can give him to you.
Meanwhile, over the radio, McLean and Powell continue to shoot the bull.
You have any kids, Al?
Not yet. The wife is working on our first. You got any kids back on the ranch?
Two. And I'd sure like to see them swinging on the jungle gym with yours, Al.
Well, that's a date. You buy the ice cream.
Tutting, cowboy, tutting. Or should I call you Mr. McLean? Mr. Officer John McLean of the NYPD?
Sister Teresa in third grade called me Mr. McLean. My friends call me John. You're neither, butthead.
I have someone who wants to talk to you. Someone who was with you at the party tonight.
Hey, Johnny boy.
Alice?
Listen, John, they're giving me a few minutes to talk some sense into you. I know you think you're doing your job, John, and I can appreciate that, but you're just kind of dragging this whole thing out. Now look, nobody gets out of here until these people talk to the LA police, and that just ain't gonna happen until you stop messing up the works. Capiche?
Ellis, what have you told them?
I told them we were old buddies and you were my guest at the party.
Ellis, you shouldn't be doing this.
Tell me about it. Now, John, listen. They want you to tell them where the detonators are, or they're gonna kill me. John, didn't you hear me?
Yeah, I hear ya.
John, I think you can get with the program a little. The police are here now. It's their problem. Tell these guys where the detonators are so no one else gets hurt. You know, I'm putting my life on the line for you, pal.
Ellis, listen to me very carefully.
John!
Shut up, Ellis. Just shut your mouth. Put Hans back on the line. Hans, this craphead does not know what kind of man you are, but I do. Listen.
Good. Then you will give us what we want and save your friend's life. You're not part of this equation.
Hey, Hans! What am I, a method actor? Hans, babe, put away the gun. This is radio, not television.
Hans, this moron is not my friend. I just met him tonight. I don't know him. Ellis, these people are gonna kill you. Tell them you don't know me.
Ha ha. John, how can you say that? After all these years, John?
You hear that? Talk to me. Where are my detonators? Where are they, or should I shoot another one? Sooner or later, I might get to someone you do care about.
Go screw yourself, Hans.
Did you hear that? He just let the guy die, man. He just gave him up. Give me that headset. That's like pulling the trigger himself.
Come on, man. Can't you read between the lines? He did everything he could to save him. If he gave himself up, they'd both be dead.
No way, man. No way. They'd be talking to us. Now listen, you tell this partner of yours to stay the heck out of this from now on. Because if he doesn't, I'm gonna nail him. Boy, I am really gonna nail his butt now.
This man is hurting. He is alone, tired, and he hasn't seen doodly squat from us down here. Why don't you wake up and smell what you're shoveling?
Sergeant, anytime you want to go home, consider yourself dismissed.
No, sir. You couldn't drag me away.
Attention, police. Attention, police.
This is Deputy Chief Dwayne Robinson. Who is this?
This is Hans Gruber. I assume you realize the futility of direct action against me. We have no wish for a further loss of life.
Well, what is it you do wish for, Mr. Gruber?
I have comrades in arms around the world languishing in prison. The following people are to be released from their captors. In Northern Ireland, the 7 members of the New Provo Front. In Canada, the 5 imprisoned leaders of Liberté de Quebec. In Sri Lanka, the 9 members of the Asian Dawn Movement.
Asian Dawn Movement?
I read about them in Time magazine. When these revolutionary brothers and sisters are free, the hostages in this building will be taken to the roof and will accompany us in helicopters to the Los Angeles International Airport. There you will be given further instructions. You have 2 hours to comply.
Wait a minute. Mr. Gruber. 2 hours? That's crazy. I can't authorize... Hello? Hello?
Do you, think they'll even try to do it?
Who cares? Theo, are we on schedule?
One more to go? Then it's up to you. And you better be right, because this last lock is going to take a miracle.
It's Christmas, Theo. It's the time of miracles. So be of good cheer and call me when you hit the last lock. Carl, take Franco and Fritz. Hunt that little crap down and get those detonators.
Fritz and Franco are checking the explosives.
I'll check the explosives. You three get the detonators.
As the terrorists jump to action, McLean places another radio call to Powell.
You have to believe me, Al. There was nothing I could do.
I know, man. I know.
Did you catch that bull Hans is running? Doesn't make any sense to me, man.
Hey, man, don't ask me. I'm just a desk jockey who was on his way home when you rang.
What was it he called them? Asian Dawn?
Sir, the FBI are here.
The FBI? Here? Now?
Yes, sir. Right over there.
You want a breath mint?
After straightening his suit and tie, Robinson walks up to the two agents standing in the glare of police headlights.
Hey, how are you doing, man?
I'm Agent Johnson. This is my partner, Special Agent Johnson. No relation.
Oh, I'm Dwayne Robinson, LAPD. I'm in charge here.
Not anymore.
On the top floor of the Nakatomi building, Hans moves through a darkened corridor, examining the explosives planted by his men. He places his two guns in a cranny and climbs up to take a closer look at one device. He then drops down, in front of a pair of bare feet. He looks up to see a machine gun barrel pointed at his face.
Hi there, how you doing?
Oh God, please, you're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them. Don't kill me, please. Don't, please.
Whoa. Relax. Relax, I'm not gonna hurt you. Who are you? And what the heck are you doing up here?
I managed to get away from them. I was just trying to get up to the roof and see if I could signal for help. It's right this way. Why don't you come, too?
Wait. Forget the roof. They got people all over. If you want to stay alive, come with me.
As Hans ponders a way to get away from McLean, the FBI take control outside.
The best way we can figure it, we've got 30, maybe 35 hostages up there. Probably on the 30th floor. And maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 terrorists?
Gosh, sounds like a standard A7 scenario.
Thank you. We'll handle it from here. When we commandeer your men, we'll try and let you know.
Aren't you forgetting something? What about John McLean? He's the reason you're facing 7 terrorists instead of 12.
Who is he?
Well, maybe a cop. We're checking on that.
Up in the building, McLean and Hans have stopped on the computer floor.
You don't work for Nakatomi, and you're not one of them.
I'm a cop from New York.
New York?
Got invited for a Christmas party. Who knew? I'm John McLean. You're...
Clay. Bill Clay.
Know how to use a handgun, Bill?
Well, I once spent a weekend at a combat range. You know that game with the guns that shoot red paint? Must sound pretty silly to you.
Well, time for the real thing, Bill.
McLean takes out his Beretta, pops out the magazine, and jams a fresh one in, handing it to Hans.
All you have to do is pull the trigger.
McLean begins walking down the corridor, but stops when he hears a gun cocking behind him.
Carl Franco, wir und Dreizig et Tage. Kommt. Put the gun down and give me my detonators.
Well, well, well. Hans.
Put it down now.
That's pretty tricky with a fake accent. You ought to be on TV. But what do you want with the detonators, Hans? I already used all the explosives. Or did I?
I'm going to count to 3.
Yeah, like you do with Takagi. Oops. No bullets. You think I'm stupid, Hans?
McLean whirls around as Carl, Franco, and Fritz jump out of the elevator. Fritz is hit and goes down as the goons return fire from cover. McLean ducks and dodges as bullets ping all around him. Finally, he finds cover under an office desk. He fires back.
Gah!
Hitting Franco in the legs and sending him crashing into a glass door.
Carl, schießen das Fenster. Shoot the glass.
The two terrorists fire into the glass panels above McLean. A hail of bullets tear through the office. Glass panels shatter all around them.
Jiminy Christmas!
Seeing an exit to his side, McLean makes a dash for it. Jagged shards of glass cut deep into his bare feet, but he keeps going, making it to safety just as Carl hurls a flash grenade. Shifting through the rubble, Hans retrieves his bag of detonators.
Smile, Carl. We're back in business.
The two return to the hostage room. Carl marches up to a cart of party refreshments and smashes it with the butt of his rifle. God, that man looks really ticked.
He's still alive.
What?
Only John can drive somebody that crazy.
Upstairs, McLean jabs the door to a washroom open and crawls in. He winces as he dips his cut feet into a sink basin. His CB radio suddenly buzzes to life.
John, you still with us?
Yeah, you can chalk up 2 more bad guys.
Well, the boys down here will be glad to hear that.
McLean wraps a paper towel around his foot, grimacing. Seeing a shard of glass gashing him, he swallows and gingerly pulls it out, twisting his face.
Ooh. Ooh. Never mind what I said before. I feel lousy.
Well then, this won't matter. The LAPD is not calling the shots down here anymore.
Feds?
You got it.
On another floor, Hans stands next to Theo in front of his computer screens.
Hans, you better heat up that miracle you were talking about. We broke through lock number 6 and the electromagnetic seal came down like a sledgehammer.
They'll have a look at what our friends outside are doing.
There's the city engineers. They're going into the street circuits. Those guys in the suits? I don't know who they are.
That's the FBI. They're ordering the others to cut the building's power. Regular as clockwork.
Or a time lock.
Precisely. The circuits that cannot be cut are cut automatically in response to a terrorist incident. You ask for miracles, Theo. I give you the FBI.
Outside, Agent Johnson, Special Agent Johnson, and Robinson gather around an engineer seating in an open manhole.
We're spliced in down the line.
Do it!
The engineer throws a giant lever, and the lights go off in the Nakatomi building. McLean reacts in the bathroom as he rips off his shirt to use as a makeshift bandage.
Paul, speak to me. What's going on?
Ask the FBI. They've got the terrorist playbook and they're running it step by step.
In the vault room, Hans and Theo gather around the computer monitors, powered by the hum of a portable generator. Theo glances at the screen. The electromagnetic locks remains enabled.
They only turned off the building circuit. It's too local. Power is still coming in from the city grid.
Then encourage them to be bolder.
You mean tick them off? All right, if I can punch into the building main line.
Outside, Agents Johnson and Johnson look up at the building as the lights go on, one floor at a time.
Son of a gun! I said I wanted it shut down!
I pulled the switch.
I don't give a crap about your switch. I want the building off.
I can't do it from here. I'd have to call downtown, have them take down one of the city grids. We're talking 10 square blocks.
10 square blocks? That's crazy, Johnson. It's Christmas Eve, man. The mayor will have a fit.
We have to go wider.
I need authorization.
Authorization? How about the United States flipping government? Lose the grid or lose your job.
A minute or two later, the Nakatomi building goes dark again.
Well, what are we going to do now? Arrest them for not paying their electric bill?
We let them sweat for a while, and then we give them their helicopters.
Yeah, right up the butt. This is Agent Johnson. No, the other one. I want that air support ready to lift off in 5 minutes. Darn right, fully armed. We're on our way.
Inside the vault room, emergency lights flicker on and an alarm sounds. With a dramatic hum, the vault doors open as Hans, Theo, and another gunman stand in awe.
Merry Christmas!
Grinning like giddy schoolboys, the crooks scamper into the vault and pack up the millions in bonds. Suddenly, Hans hears his radio buzz.
This is Special Agent Johnson of the FBI. The State Department has arranged for the release of your comrades. Helicopters are en route as you requested.
I hear you. We'll be ready. When the helicopters touch down, we'll blow the roof. They'll spend a month sifting through the bodies and rubble. By the time they figure out what went wrong, we'll be sitting on the beats earning 20%.
Back in the washroom, McLean tries putting pressure on his foot.
Powell, do you have a minute?
I'm here, John.
Listen, man, I'm starting to get a bad feeling here. I'd like you to do something for me. Look up my wife and tell her it took me a long time to figure out what a jerk I've been. When things started to pan out for her, I should have been behind her more. Tell her that she's the best thing that ever happened to a bum like me. Tell her John said he was sorry. You got all that?
Yeah, I got it, John. But you can tell her yourself. You just watch yourself and you'll make it.
Well, I guess it's up to the guy upstairs. What the heck were you doing up there, Hans?
John?
Listen, Al. Just lay off for a while. I have to go check on something.
McLean hobbles out of the washroom and makes his way to the 34th floor, where he has seen Hans snooping around. His eyes flash over the area. Then he looks up. Flicking his lighter on, he sees hundreds of explosive charges strapped to the ceiling.
Mary, mother of God!
He ducks down to grab his radio.
Powell, listen to me. It's a double cross. The whole roof, it's rigged to...
Suddenly, McLean stiffens as he feels a gun barrel on his cheek.
We're both professionals, but this is personal. You are done.
Wham! McLean spins around, driving his elbow into Carl's face. Carl's gun clatters to the floor, and McLean follows up with another blow, ramming Carl into a mass of barrels.
Ah!
After several blows, Carl recovers, punching McLean straight in the kisser. Outside, a pair of helicopters approach the Nakatomi building.
Time for Miss De Niro to gather her flock.
Sitting in Holly's office, he glances at the picture frames on her desk. He gazes into a photograph of Holly, her two kids, and, standing right beside her, John McLean. He turns abruptly to the crowd.
Mrs. McLean, how nice to make your acquaintance.
He raises his pistol, only to shoot it into the ceiling and grab Holly by the wrist.
Hey.
Upstairs to the roof. Now, lock them up there and come right back.
Upstairs, McLean dodges out of the way of Carl as he lunges, grabbing him by the head and ramming him against a pipe.
You should have heard your brother squeal when I broke his stinking neck.
He delivers a kick, sending Carl flying, inadvertently right towards one of the guns sitting on the floor. Carl aims it, getting off a shot as McLean ducks for cover.
Oh.
His skin grazed by a bullet, McLean retreats, and Carl follows, only to be jumped from behind a corner.
You son of a gun, I'll kill you!
The two grapple. McLean staggers to his feet and climbs out onto a staircase. Carl lunges toward him.
I'm gonna cook you alive!
Suddenly, McLean reaches for a loose chain hanging around him and tangles it around Carl. Yanking it forward, Carl is jerked upward by the neck. He twitches like a caught fish as the chain strangles the life out of him. In the air above the Nakatomi building, the FBI's chopper hovers in the distance. The two agents Johnson sit inside.
What do you figure on the breakage?
I figure we take out the terrorists. Lose 20% or 25% of the hostages. Tops.
I can live with those numbers. Get this thing on the deck. They're expecting transports, not gunships.
Inside the vault, Theo continues to load up the loot as Hans, Eddie, and Holly arrive.
A policeman's life might come in handy. There's Carl.
Don't know.
Well, never mind. Arm the detonator and load the bonds onto the truck.
After all your posturing, all your little speeches, you're nothing but a common thief.
I am an exceptional thief, Mrs. McClane, and now that I'm moving up to kidnapping, you should be more polite.
As the FBI helicopters approach, one of the remaining terrorists herds the hostages onto the roof. As he turns to lock them in, he comes face to face with McClane, who unloads a burst of machine gun fire into him.
No! Where's Holly?
They took her!
Where?
The vault! On the 30th floor!
Get downstairs, all of you! The entire roof is set to blow!
He fires in the air over his head, sending the hostages scattering for the stairs.
We've got a terrorist shooting. Swing around, give me a better shot.
Nail that sucker.
Agent Johnson opens fire on McClane, who sprints across the helipad, leaping to cover as the helicopter sweeps overhead.
I'm on your side, idiots!
Fake and let me nail this butt.
Desperate, McClane looks around for an escape path and spots a fire hose. Running to it, he unreels several yards, looping it around his back and under his legs.
How the heck did you get yourself in this mess, John?
As McClane preps himself, Hans and his remaining goons pack up the last of their loot.
Something's wrong. The hostages are coming back down.
Blow the roof, then.
With Carl still up there?
Blow the roof.
A massive fireball rolls into the sky above the Nakatomi building, consuming the FBI helicopter just as McClane jumps, using the fire hose to grapple down the side of the building. Dropping several feet, he kicks off and shoots the glass of a window, and swings inside to safety as dust, flaming debris, and what's left of the chopper crash to the ground. Down in the garage, Argyle sits huddled in the back seat of a limo. Peeking out of the window, he sees Theo prepping the terrorist group's getaway vehicle.
The heck is going on?
Argyle vaults into the front seat and readies his engine. He pulls forward, aiming straight for the stolen emergency truck. With a clear shot, he accelerates.
Gadzooks!
Theo ducks into the side seat just as the limo rams its target, knocking him out.
Where's the cameras when you need them, man?
Back upstairs, McClane spots the remaining terrorists holding Holly captive. He checks his ammo. Only one bullet left for each goon. He needs a plan, and spots one. Rolls of masking tape lying on a nearby table.
What are you going to do, sit in here while the building falls around your ears?
Shut up and stand up. You're coming with us.
Hans!
Turning the corner, Eddie and Hans step out in front of McClane. Far from surprised, Hans yanks Holly into view, holding a gun to her head.
My God!
Hi, honey. So is this what it's all about? A stupid robbery?
Put down your gun.
Why have to nuke this whole building, Hans?
When you steal $600, you can disappear. When you steal $600 million, they will find you. Unless they think you're already dead. Now put the gun down.
Well, you got me.
Still the cowboy, Mr. McClane. Americans all alike. But this time, John Wayne does not walk off into the sunset. What was it that you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Suddenly, McClane reaches back and grabs his Beretta, strapped to his back with holiday masking tape.
Holly!
Holly sidesteps as McClane fires, nailing Eddie in the forehead and Hans in the chest. The terrorist ringleader staggers back.
Happy trails, Hans.
With eyes bulging from shock and disbelief, Hans flails backwards, grits his teeth, and crashes through the window behind him. His face stretched in horror, Hans plummets to the ground far below.
It's okay now, honey. It's okay.
Smoke drifts up from the Nakatomi building. McClane and Holly, supporting each other, walk out of the building into the flood of police officers and reporters. McClane finds his eyes trained on a man, a portly police sergeant, approaching him.
Al, this is my wife Holly. Holly Gennaro.
Holly McClane.
Hello, Holly. You got yourself a good man. I guess I won't have to give you that message after all.
Message?
Oh, just something John told me about him being such a jerk. He'll fill you in.
John McClane. Is that John McClane? I want you for debriefing, McClane. You got some things to answer for, mister. Property damage, interfering with police business, the death of Harry Ellis.
As if on cue, Argyle's limo bursts to the garage. Robinson falls to the ground in shock while Powell turns, drawing his gun.
Easy there, Al. Don't worry, he's with me. Well, well. Merry Christmas, Argyle.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, man. Man, if this is their idea of Christmas, I gotta be here for New Year's.
As the limo departs Nakatomi Plaza, Mr. and Mrs. McClane kiss in the back seat, making their way home for the holidays.
That concludes Culture Q's rendition of Die Hard, adapted to radio by Parker Lemke and Matt Curtis, and featuring the voices of Jared Greenison as John McClane, Parker Lemke as Hans and the Drunk Businessman, Ross Cobol as Argyle, Al Powell, and Theo, Nathan Gurdes as Dwayne Robinson, Joe Takagi, and Marco, Hannah Kolb as Holly McClane, the supervisor, and Eddie, Merv Moorhead as Thornburg and Franco, John Thomas as Ellis, Carl, Tony, Agent Johnson, and Special Agent Johnson, and Zach Simmons as the narrator, dispatcher, and generic cop. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thank you for listening.